Hello, I'm Lance, and welcome to Dozing Off. Tonight, in order to help you fall asleep, I'm going to read multiple of Aesop's fables. Before we start, I have to apologize because I am sick as a dog trying to fight off this cold, so my voice may sound a bit raspier, but hey, that may help in the long run. So, thank you so much for being a part of the Dozing Off community. And tonight, we'll start with a raven and a swan. A raven, which you know is black as coal, was envious of the swan, because her feathers were as white as the purest snow. The foolish bird got the idea that he lived like the swan, swimming and diving all day long, and eating the weeds and plants that grow in the water. His feathers would turn white like the swan's. So he left his home in the woods and fields and flew down to live on the lakes and in the marshes. But though he washed and washed all day long, almost drowning himself at it, his feathers remained as black as ever. And as the water weeds he ate did not agree with him, he got thinner and thinner, and at last he died. A change of habits will not alter nature. Story number 2. Belling the Cat. The mice once called a meeting to decide on a plan to free themselves of their enemy, the cat. At least, they wished to find some way of knowing when she was coming, so they might have time to run away. Indeed, something had to be done, for they lived in such constant fear of her claws that they hardly dared stir from their dens by night or day. Many plans were discussed, but none of them was thought good enough. At last, a very young mouse got up and said, "I have a plan that seems very simple, but I know it will be successful. All we have to do is hang a bell about the cat's neck. When we hear the bell ringing, we will know immediately that our enemy is coming." All the mice were much surprised that they had not thought of such a plan before. But in the midst of rejoicing over their good fortune, an old mouse arose and said, "I will say that the plan of the young mouse is very good. But let me ask one question. Who will bell the cat?" It is one thing to say that something should be done, but quite a different matter to do it. Story number 3. Jupiter and the Monkey. There was once a baby show among the animals in the forest. Jupiter provided the prize. Of course, all the proud mamas from far and near brought their babies. But none got there earlier than Mother Monkey. Proudly, she presented her baby among the other contestants. As you can imagine, there was quite a laugh when the animals saw the ugly, flat-nosed, hairless, pop-eyed little creature. "Laugh if you will," said the mother monkey. "Though Jupiter may not be giving him the prize, I know that he is the prettiest, the sweetest, the dearest darling in the world." A mother's love is blind. Story number 4. The Ant and the Dove. A dove saw an ant fall into a brook. The ant struggled in vain to reach the bank, and in pity, the dove dropped a blade of straw close beside it. Clinging to the straw like a shipwrecked sailor to a broken spar, the ant floated safely to shore. Soon after, The ant saw a man getting ready to kill the dove with a stone. But just as he cast the stone, the ant stung him in the heel, so that the pain made him miss his aim. And the startled dove flew to safety in a distant wood. A kindness is never wasted. Story number 5. The Astrologer. A man who lived a long time ago believed that he could read the future in the stars. He called himself an astrologer and spent his time at night gazing at the sky. One evening, he was walking along the open road outside the village. His eyes were fixed on the stars. He thought he saw that there was an end of the world at hand, when all at once, down he went into a hole full of mud and water. There he stood up to his ears in the muddy water, and madly clawing at the slippery sides of the hole in his effort to climb out. His cries for help soon brought the villagers running. As they pulled him out of the mud, one of them said, "You pretend to read the future in the stars, and yet you fail to see what is at your feet. This may teach you to pay more attention to what's right in front of you, and let the future take care of itself." "What use is it," said another, "to read the stars when you can't see what's right here on the earth?" Take care of the little things, and the big things will take care of themselves. Story number 6. The Bear and the Bees. A bear roaming in the woods in search of berries happened on a fallen tree in which a swarm of bees had stored their honey. The bear began to nose around the log very carefully to find out if the bees were at home. Just then, one of the swarm came home from the clover field with a load of sweets. Guessing what the bear was after, the bee flew at him, stung him sharply, and then disappeared into the hollow log. The bear lost his temper in an instant, and sprang upon the log tooth and claw to destroy the nest. But this only brought out the whole swarm. The poor bear had to take to his heels, and he was able to save himself only by diving into a pool of water. It is wiser to bear a single injury in silence than to provoke 1,000 by flying into a rage. Story number 7. The Eagle and the Beetle. A beetle once begged the eagle to spare a hare which had run to her protection. But the eagle pounced upon her prey, the sweep of her great wings tumbling the beetle 12 feet away. Furious at the disrespect shown to her, the beetle flew to the eagle's nest and rolled out the eggs. Not one did she spare. The eagle's grief and anger knew no bounds, but who had done the cruel deed, she did not know. Next year, the eagle built her nest far up on a mountain crag, but the beetle found it and again destroyed her eggs. In despair, the eagle now implored great Jupiter to let her place her eggs in his lap. There, none would dare to harm them. But the eagle buzzed around Jupiter's head and made him rise to drive her away, and the eggs rolled up from his lap. Now, the beetle told the reason for her action, and Jupiter had to acknowledge the justice for her cause. And they say that ever after, while the eagle's eggs lie in the nest in spring, the beetle still sleeps in the ground, for so Jupiter commanded. even the weakest may find means to avenge a wrong. Story number 8. The Fighting Bulls and the Frog. Two bulls were fighting furiously in a field, at one side of which was a marsh. An old frog living in the marsh trembled as he watched the fierce battle. "What are you afraid of?" asked the young frog. "Do you not see," replied the old frog, "that the bull who is beaten will be driven away from the good forage up there to the reeds of this marsh, and we shall be trampled into the mud?" It turned out as the frog had said. The beaten bull was driven to the marsh where his great hoofs crushed the frogs to death. When the great fall out, the weak must suffer for it. Story number 9. The Frogs Who Wished for a King. The frogs were tired of governing themselves. They had so much freedom that had spoiled them, and they did nothing but sit around croaking in a bored manner and wishing for a government that could entertain them with the pomp and display of royalty, and rule them in a way to make them know they were being ruled. No milk and water government for them, they declared. So they sent a petition to Jupiter asking for a king. Jupiter saw what simple and foolish creatures they were, but to keep them quiet and make them think they had a king, he threw on a huge log, which fell into the water with a great splash. The frogs hid themselves among the reeds and grasses, thinking the new king to be some fearful giant. But they soon discovered how tame and peaceable King Log was. In a short time, the younger frogs were using him for a diving platform, while the older frogs made him a meeting place, where they complained loudly to Jupiter about the government. To teach the frogs a lesson, the ruler of the gods now sent a crane to be king of Frogland. The crane proved to be a very different sort of king from the old King Log. He gobbled up the poor frogs right and left, and they soon saw what fools they had been. In mournful croaks, they begged Jupiter to take away the cruel tyrant before they should all be destroyed. "How now," cried Jupiter, "are you not yet content? You have what you asked for, and so you only have yourselves to blame for your misfortunes." Be sure you can better your condition before you seek to change. Story number 10. The Fisherman and the Little Fish. A poor fisherman, who lived on the fish he caught, had bad luck one day and caught nothing but a very small fry. The fisherman was about to put it in his basket when the little fish said, "Please spare me, Mr. Fisherman. I am so small it's not worthwhile to carry me home. When I'm bigger, I shall make you a much better meal." But the fisherman quickly put fish into his basket. "How foolish I should be," he said, "to throw you back. However small you may be, you are better than nothing at all." A small gain is worth more than a large promise. Story number 11. The Hare and His Ears. The lion had been badly hurt by the horns of a goat which he was eating. He was very angry to think that any animal he chose for a meal should be so brazen as to wear such dangerous things as horns to scratch him while he ate. So he commanded that all animals with horns should leave his domain within 24 hours. The command struck terror among the beasts. All those who were so unfortunate as to have horns began to pack up and move out. Even the hare, who, as you know, has no horns and so had nothing to fear, passed a very restless night, dreaming awful dreams about the fearful lion. And when he came out of the warren in the early morning sunshine, and there saw the shadow cast by his long and pointed ears, a terrible fright seized him. "Goodbye, neighbor cricket," he called. "I'm off. He will certainly make out that my ears are horns, no matter what I say." Do not give your enemies the slightest reason to attack your reputation. Your enemies will seize any excuse to attack you. Story number 12. The Lion's Share. A long time ago, the lion, the fox, the jackal, and the wolf agreed to go hunting together, sharing with each other whatever they found. One day, the wolf ran down a stag and immediately called his comrades to divide the spoil. Without being asked, the lion placed himself at the head of the feast to do some carving, and with a great show of fairness, began to count the guests. 1, he said, counting on his claws. "That is myself, the lion. 2, that's the wolf. 3, is the jackal. And the fox makes 4. He then carefully divided the stag into 4 equal parts. "I am King Lion," he said, when he had finished, "so of course I get the first part. The next part falls to me because I am the strongest, and this is mine because I am the bravest." He now began to glare at the others very savagely. "If any of you have any claim to the part that is left," he growled, stretching his claws meaningly, "now is the time to speak up." Might makes right. Story 13. The Imposter. A certain man fell ill, and being in a very bad way, he made a vow that he would sacrifice 100 oxen to the gods if they would grant him a return to health. Wishing to see he would keep his vow, they caused him to recover in a short time. Now, he hadn't an ox in the world, so he made 100 little oxen out of tallow and offered them up on an altar, and at the same time saying, "Ye gods, I call you to witness that I have discharged my vow." The gods determined to be even with him, so they sent him a dream in which he was bidden to go to the seashore and fetch 100 crowns which he was to find there. Hastening in great excitement to the shore, he fell in with a band of robbers who seized him and carried him off to sell as a slave. And when they sold him, 100 crowns was the sum he fetched. Do not promise more than you can perform. Story 14. The Kid and the Wolf. A frisky young kid had been left by the herdsman on the thatched roof of a sheep shelter to keep him out of harm's way. The kid was browsing near the edge of the roof when he spied a wolf and began to jeer at him, making faces and abusing him to his heart's content. "I hear you," said the wolf, "and I haven't the least grudge against you for what you say or do. When you are up there, it is the roof that's talking, not you. Do not say anything at any time that you would not say at all times. And finally, story 15, The Bundle of Sticks. A certain father had a family of sons who were forever quarreling among themselves. No words he could say did the least good, so he cast about in his mind for some very striking example that should make them see that discord would lead them to misfortune. One day, when the quarreling had been much more violent than usual, and each of the sons was moping in a surly manner, he asked one of them to bring him a bundle of sticks. Then, handing the bundle to each of his sons in turn, he told them to try to break it. But although each one tried his best, none was able to do so. The father then untied the bundle and gave the sticks to his sons to break one by one. This they did very easily. "My sons," said the father, "do you not see how certain it is that if you agree with each other and help each other, it will be impossible for your enemies to injure you? But if you are divided among yourselves, you will be no stronger than a single stick in that bundle. In unity is strength." I hope these 15 stories from Aesop's Fables helped you doze off tonight. Thank you again, and good night.